Well, there's been this enormous confusion out there, and some of it quite deliberately peddled to keep the political concern revving over. And we've just seen a few days of it in the Parliament down here. But what I'd urge people to do, and I'd be quite happy to speak to people privately or even come to that area, to go through these numbers as chair of the Regional Australia Committee. Because there's a lot of people very frightened of what they're hearing. And what they're hearing in many cases is absolute rubbish. So I'd urge people just to concentrate, if they could, on the actual numbers. Now, the number that's currently being pushed around, and I think will be in the eventual plan, is 2,750 gigalitres. So if you just place that in your mind as the base figure. Within the plan, there will be what's called an allowance for environmental works and measures. And this is something that the community argued for. During the process, they said, why have the farmers got to bear the brunt of this? Why can't the environment be a bit more efficient as well? So the environmental works and measures are really the flip side of on-farm efficiencies. This is the environmental efficiencies. So if you start at 2750, you can deduct 650 gigalitres of water that the basin states have identified that can be deducted from that figure through environmental watering efficiencies, not on-farm efficiencies. So that brings the number back to 2,100 gigalitres. Currently, the authority and the government has obtained about 1,300 gigalitres of water out of the system through some buyback, which they're not going to do anymore, and that was the demand of the community as well, other than strategic buyback, and a whole range of other things, some on-farm efficiencies, etc. So there's at least 1,300 gigalitres of water that's already been obtained.
So we're looking now at a figure of about 800 gigalitres that's still there.
Yes, so the real number in terms of what we're actually looking at is 800. You're quite right. Now, I think Tony Burke's office might say that it's even less than that because I think there's some water in the system that hasn't been accounted for yet in terms of efficiencies and some degree of buyback. So it's somewhere between 600 and 800 gigalitres of water, which is the real number we're talking about. Now, if you went into the streets of Griffith and Wagga, etc., they'd be saying, and even the local member here, who I think's been disgraceful, your local member, Michael McCormack, who I think's been disgraceful on this, and the community leaders should pull him aside and get him to explain these numbers, because he's been on this committee. He's actually endorsed a lot of these measures that the community has called for, and he's been running around in the Parliament, I'm going to cross the floor, I'm going to do this and that. He has no idea of what the actual numbers are. So you've got this number of about 600 to 800 gigalitres of water, which is the actual figure. Now, out in the streets, people say, oh, they want 3,200 now. This is shock horror, it's the end of the world. The mayor of Deniliquin, for instance, who I haven't met, but I'm sure he's a very decent person, saying there's going to be rallies in the streets over this 3,200 gigalitre figure. If you look at that and the way the Prime Minister announced that in Adelaide the other day, there's this next number of 450 gigalitres. And just bear in mind, 2750 is the base. And we've just showed how it's gone down to 600 or 800. If you add 450 to the top of that, you get 3,200. Now, where's this 450 going to come from, if it actually happens at all? What it is 450 gigalitres that could be obtained if, in fact, funds are found and if, in fact, the farming community volunteer some of their water in return for being funded into more efficient ways of watering. So it has a neutral effect on communities. And the mayor of Deniliquin and others, and we've had people ringing our office saying this is a tragedy. This is exactly what Deniliquin called for. When the committee was there, they said they wanted on-farm measures so that they didn't lose their productivity but could obtain finance to actually improve their efficiency. Now, if people don't want to become more efficient in terms of their irrigation, they don't have to. There's absolutely no compulsion here. And this has been one of the tragedies, I think, of of this whole debate and the way the politics has been pushed is that people, and if you walked into the streets of Griffith, I'm sure people would think the government is going to take some of their water away. They did when the committee was there, and they have at various other meetings. No one is going to take your water. No one. They can't. It is illegal. You can sell your water to the next door neighbour, or you can sell it out of the community downstream. That is legal. If you want to participate in an on-farm efficiency scheme, there will be schemes available where you can become more efficient, more productive, for slightly less water. People can do that. The buyback arrangements that the community was arguing for will essentially stop, other than strategic areas. And here again, Michael McCormack, walking both sides of the street, has been arguing for some time that the people in the Lower Bidgee should in fact participate in a strategic buyback. And there's been meetings with the minister and the government and the authority, and Michael even got them to come and see me.
Well, let's talk about some of the things that you've raised now in detail by themselves. And interesting there that we're talking about people won't have water taken away, that they can volunteer their water, they can sell their water. One of the concerns is not so much that water will be just forcefully removed from water licence holders, but that the Commonwealth water holder in the water market distorts the market, and people will sometimes have difficulties. They might be priced out of the water market.
Well, I don't understand the logic of that. And one of the things that the community actually demanded, and the committee, and I'll take a little bit of credit for this, and the committee recommended, and Michael McCormack was on that committee, recommended it, and I think it's going to be taken on board in the eventual plan, is that when the environmental water holder, which is going to be the biggest water holder in the country, there's no doubt about that, when the environmental water holder has surplus water, it will be able to sell some of that water back into the temporary water market. Now, that's, and a lot of irrigators understand what I mean by that, but they can buy water on a seasonal basis. So this myth that's out there that all of this water that the environment's going to have is going to be stored in some big pond somewhere, and it will take up all of the area of storage, and there'll be nothing left for the towns and the irrigators. It is an absolute myth, and there will be, and should be in my view, and I won't be supporting the plan unless it does have it in the capacity, when there is a surplus water in the environmental water account, to trade back into the systems, into the productive community. Now, that might have an impact on some people, the water traders that are out there now waiting for people to bleed and then selling them water at very high prices. It might dampen that down, but that's probably a good thing.
Speaking of that surplus water, we're already seeing some water being returned to the water market. So one of the questions being asked in this region is, if already under the current amounts of water, water is being put back into the water market and not needed for environmental flows, why on earth would we keep upping the number for environmental water when what's already being allocated isn't being used?
Well, and I think it's easy. I can do the same thing, but it's easy to sort of pluck those things out when we've just had a flood. This is what John Howard was talking about 6 and 7 years ago when this plan structure was put together. And I voted against the legislation back then because I think it was the legislation itself was ill-founded, and that's why there's a bit of a struggle with it now. But even given that, this is about trying to equalise the system out so that there's water in the system, not just for the environment, but for others, in most years. And to do that, and that's why we have dams. If we didn't have dams, we'd have rushes and then dry spells. So we've done that in a technical sense anyway. And the plan is about trying to come to grips with that sort of balance. But I think people really need to recognise if they don't want to sell their water, if they don't want to do anything with their water, no one is going to force them any removal of that water. And I think that's the great fear that's been peddled out there by the politicians. And people take it seriously. They listen to some of the nonsense that's been peddled.
Now, something else that you talked there about was the infrastructure, money for infrastructure. And I know that since the discussions started on developing a basin plan, money for infrastructure improvements was very high on the agenda. The $1.7 billion that was announced the other day by the Prime Minister, is that new infrastructure money that's new on top of the money that was set aside before? I think about $5 billion before.
Well, I think most of it, and personally, I don't think that'll ever happen because I don't think the farming community will engage too much with it. Maybe they will, but if it's ever happening, it will happen between 2019 and 2024. So it's not going to happen on the back of this flood, that's for sure. But some of that money is to remove what they call constraints in the system so that if there's a flood on, it doesn't sort of... you know, wash everybody away. There's a bit of fantasy in some of this too, I think, but most of the money is in fact for on-farm efficiencies. So, and that's what the Prime Minister's saying. To go up from the 2,750 gigalitre figure to 3,200 gigalitres, it can only be done and will be paid for by Commonwealth money if in fact the farming community want to take that money and become more efficient with their water use. So if you've got 100 megs of water, for instance, at the moment, and you're flood irrigating, and you, if you, it could be as productive or more productive with 70 megs, if you put in drip irrigation or some other more efficient system, that 30 megs would be returned to the system, and in return for that, you would get the infrastructure paid for on your farm. There's a lot of other reasons why people would move from flood to trickle or drip.
Certainly. And infrastructure spending was something that did get this region some quite positive responses. I think everyone was supportive of the concept of infrastructure improvements. The concern from this region, though, is there is already huge amounts of money set aside for infrastructure improvements over the last couple of years. And a lot of that money at the federal level remains unspent. So there's a lot of cynicism coming from this region that, well, you've already got much of the $5 billion for infrastructure improvements still to be spent, and we're announcing more down the track when nothing's really changed in the last couple of years.
Yeah, so if you just concentrate on the 2750 number again, what happened in Adelaide last week, and I've been critical of the Prime Minister.
And we'll talk about that in a moment, for sure. Yeah. Yes.
No, but it relates to the point you're actually making. What happened in Adelaide was about making people believe that there was 3,200 gigalitres of water going to come out of the system. Between 2019 and 2024, this 450 gigalitres of water would be obtained. What that was all about was rescuing South Australian boats and rescuing Jay Weatherill, the South Australian Premier. Now, the money that's set aside at the moment, the infrastructure money you're talking about, the on-farm efficiency money, the money to re-engineer Menindi Lakes and other parts of the catchment, the money to actually be put into running the river better, revising the rules, putting in some monitoring devices so that the rivers can run better in a management sense, that money is available. And that's where the 600 to 800 gigalitres will come from. That's what it will be spent on. The available money that's there now will be available to obtain that 600 to 800 gigalitres that's actually left to find in the system. Now, if between 2019 and 24, the farming community and what the Prime Minister announced the other day, if the farming community want to become more efficient, there'll be funding available for on-farm infrastructure efficiencies and channels, etc., so that they can take advantage of that to migrate into more efficient use of water and have it paid for by the taxpayer, that $1.7 billion that you're talking about. Now, that's a long way out. They're two different lumps of money, a long way out. One's available now, one's available at some time in the future. But the key point that people want to understand is there's not 3,200 gigalitres of water going to suddenly come out of the system. There's some internal accounting in terms of these things, and Barnaby Joyce and a few of these people who claim to know numbers should, in fact, be able to explain those things. Why aren't they doing it? There's more profit in the politics than actually explaining how this thing's going to work.
Let's talk about the way that the announcement was made, because, and I know you've been critical of this as well, from a political point of view, from the Prime Minister, the decision was made to make the announcements in South Australia, a big bump for the South Australian Premier, Jay Weatherill, also for South Australian Coalition MPs who were on board with this idea as well. But the feeling from other players is that it really became an us against them, that it started playing South Australia off against New South Wales and Victoria even more than we've already seen, that people upriver, our region, as you know, Tony, that they got very, very grumpy at the way that the announcement was made, played out as a win for the environment and isn't this wonderful, which really did cut straight to that perception from this region that they are being targeted. So was it not very smart the way that it was done?
Well, that'll tell. Time will tell in terms of the politics of South Australia. I think it was smart politics, in a sense that it has turned some of the South Australian Liberals against the New South Wales Nationals. So that's smart in a sense, if that's what they were intending to do. I think they were intending to make it look. This is the governor I'm talking about. Intending to make it look as if the amount that they were going to take from the system had suddenly gone up to 3,200 gigalitres. Now, everybody has fallen for that. The environmentalists have fallen for it, even though it may never happen. If the farming community don't want to engage in the on-farm efficiencies of between 2019 and 24, they don't have to. So it's in the hands of the farmers. It's the very thing they were asking for. If we want to become more, you want us to become more efficient, you pay for it. And that's what the committee and others have recommended. So if the farmers don't want to take advantage of that, they don't have to. No one's forcing. So at 450 gigalitres, the Adelaide announcement could all be puff and whistle. But it's not going to occur in the immediate future. It's a long way off. But the environmentalists have fallen for it. They've said, oh, we're going to get 3,200 gigalitres. The farmers have fallen for it, and the other side of the politics said, oh, they're going to take more water. And the reality is, and if you actually bother to sit down and actually do the numbers, 2750 less 650, 2100. You add 450, assuming the farmers took advantage of that in the future, you add 450 to 2100, comes to 2550. So the number's actually gone down from 2750 to 2550, not up to 3200. Now, so the politics is smart. It's got everybody bluffed and confused. And the numbers are hard to follow, I know, but that's what's happened.
And of course,
it's actually gone down.
In all of this, you're saying that it's got everybody confused and everybody bleating all sides, whether it's everybody's bluffed by this number. You're the ham in the sandwich, though, Mr. Windsor, that you're the one that has, in fact, come under the most criticism in our region, as you've mentioned, from mayors in our region, from other groups, stakeholder groups in our region, from our local member, has also been, as you know, very vocal in his criticism about what's happened and how it's happened and threatening to cross the floor. This has come back on you personally. So what does that do to the way you're going to engage with this government?
Oh, but it won't make any difference at all. I was chair of a committee that went out and participated right up the catchment to talk to people across the catchment. We took on board what they've said. They were worried about buyback. We've got rid of that. They wanted on-farm efficiencies. We've delivered that. They wanted environmental works and measures so the environment could be more efficient rather than having overbank flows all the time. We've delivered that. So I'm quite proud of the work that's been done. I can't help it if people just want to hear the politics that the Barnaby Joyces and Michael McCormacks and those guys want to spread about. I feel sorry for people who have to listen to that because some people actually believe it and some people are quite frightened of it, that they're going to lose their water. They're not going to do that.
Has anyone come out in your defence?
Sorry?
Has anyone from politics, any colleague, any political colleague of yours come out in your defence to help you explain this?
Well, if they go to the numbers, that's the point that I'm making.
Yeah. I know, but I'm asking you, has anyone come out to support you personally? Because you've come under a lot of personal attack on this. Has anyone stood by you, a fellow MP, stood by you on this?
Well, I don't think so. I'm not too worried about that.
So do you feel like you've been hung out to dry then?
No, not at all. Not at all. I've always believed, even though I was the only one in the parliament, out of five parliaments, I was the only one who voted against the John Howard plan.
The Water Act, yes.
The Water Act. I voted against it because it was done for the wrong reasons at the time. And I get into that now. But I voted against it. And there were some technical issues in it. Some of those have been fixed, but not all of them. But the reason that you say people should come to my defence, there's a lot of hypocrisy in this. You know, people like Barnaby Joyce, Michael McCormack, they argued for on-farm efficiencies. And when it's delivered to them, no, we've got to shift the ball game. We can't get what we wanted. That means there wouldn't be a problem. We've got to keep the problem going. So keep shifting the ground. But on the other side of the equation, there's people in the parliament that want to bluff the community, and you saw it with the Prime Minister the other day, into this thinking that there's a big win for the environment. Adelaide, all South Australia should be delighted. But most of these people, including people on that committee, don't understand the numbers and how they actually work. If they did, they would see that the actual number has gone from 2750 down to 2550. Now, that's gone down, not up, not up. And I can defend those numbers. I'm quite happy to defend them. Some of the journalists have picked up on that, and they've actually questioned the minister about it. He's endorsed them. It's no secret, but we still have people out there playing their little political games to frighten people that it's 3,200 and the valley's going to be drained, or it's 3,200 and the environment's going to be saved.
Do you know what is particularly frightening about what you've just said, Mr. Windsor, and that is including members of your own committee and, by and large, the Australian Parliament don't understand the numbers, yet these are the people who are developing this policy. As someone who lives in this region, that's a very frightening thought.
Well, it is frightening, because some of these people, including your local member, haven't got a clue how this works. They haven't got a clue, and worse than that, they don't want to know. A person like Michael McCormack should know. He was on the committee. He was part of the process. Even this debate we've had in the last few days about adjustment 5% up and down in terms of the sustainable water, he was part of the committee that designed that. And then he's in the parliament day before yesterday saying, I'm going to cross the floor over it. Cross the floor over it. What absolute hypocrisy to be saying one thing in a committee, coming up with recommendations to go to the parliament unanimously, and then go into the parliament or go into the Griffith gargle and the newspaper over there. I apologise for that. Can't think of its name. But,
oh, the Area News.
The Area News. Go into those papers and then be bleating on about how he's going to save the nation and cross the floor. It is absolute hypocrisy. That's the point, Anne, that I'm making. The community leaders. And there's some great leaders in this catchment. I live in the Murray, darling. I know a lot of them. They've really got to pull their politicians to task on this and actually get them to sit down and explain how this works. Because there's been, right since the fires in Griffith, there's been this concentration on this damn number of whether it's 3,000, 4,000, 2,000, 1,000. And once you start to talk about that number, and once you introduce these on-farm and environmental efficiencies and in-river monitoring and engineering works and infrastructure and Menindee Lakes and other areas, once you do that, it becomes confused. You know, I can understand your listeners are probably as confused as hell out there at the moment. But if they take the time and examine how this works, you will see, and in my view, I don't think we're going to get much better than what we've got. You won't get it in a majority parliament. They'll knife the hell out of it. I think it'd be one of the achievements of the minority parliament that we've actually been able to get something where there's an injection of money into the farming community and no compulsion in terms of any removal of water.